Hey.
I only heard the end of that, Cheryl, but it was perfect. Perfect. I'm so thrilled. It's so nice to hear perfection speak. I love to hear perfection speak. I listen to perfection speak through Muji. The other day I listened to perfection speak through Adi Ashanti. Just now I listened to perfection speak through Cheryl Valentine, and I am grateful. Thank you. So now let's ask perfection to speak through me, shall we? Because perfection can speak through any body at all. So we are here for Holy Spirit guides. I assume you guys can hear me. Nobody said they couldn't. You guys can hear me, right? Because I have this mic thing going on where I have to shift my settings every day. Okay, good. All right, good. all right, so we're here for Holy Spirit guides. This is the period of time where we are going over the personal messages that I have received that have been helpful to me. Specifically right now, we're in the period of time where the personal messages that I received were directed toward Laurent and me. So they were helpful towards us, but of course we have discovered that they are helpful to many, right? Not just us. Last week we started Now the Real Work Begins, and this week we are going to continue that message. I am giving you a link. Oops. Now I'm giving you a link. Laurent, I see your name in the room. Are you here physically? I wanted to know what your teaching schedule is in ACIM Gather, so if you're here, if you would type that in for me. Okay, when are you teaching in ACIM Gather? If you could give it to us in Eastern time, if you know it, that would be helpful, so that I can let people know what your schedule is as well. Okay, he is Tuesdays at 12 noon Eastern time. And you're going over these same messages. Is that true, Laurent, from your perspective? Yes. So if you would like to hear the same messages taught... Oh, no, I'm wrong. For some reason, I thought I read that in an email. I'm very wrong. Forget that. But if you want to come hear Laurent teach, Tuesdays at 12, Eastern time. And that's when Laurent is teaching. And I don't know what he's doing. He said it could be guidance. Meaning it could be guidance to possibly teach some of these messages. Do you want to take the mic for a second and talk about what you're doing in Tuesdays at 12? Yes? Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Laurent. Oh, I see his hands up. Okay, here we go. I'm going to try and record you even though my settings aren't correct. We'll see what happens. Here you go.
Hello, love. Hi, everyone. Yeah, it looks like guidance, actually. No, what I told you the other day at on an email is that I felt the guidance to go over the same messages on Mondays, but that's on the French Pal Talk. And I found that it was very, very interesting. Now, maybe it's a cool guidance to go over. The way I'm going over these messages is really through the perspective that comes on the moment. I couldn't even tell you what it is, but it's always a little different, and maybe we can start actually doing this if I feel like it, but why not? It seems like a very good idea, and I can start on Tuesday. So you can imagine if I do like three times these messages, I think that Spirit has some plans over there. We'll see, but why not? We can start that on Tuesday. Okay, bye.
Okay, so that's cool. My misunderstanding may have been your guidance. Guidance can come from anywhere. All right. Tell you what, let's go into prayer. Holy Spirit, right now I want to say I am grateful for you. And when I use the word you, that is a symbol. It's a fine symbol, but it is a symbol. And what I really mean by that symbol What I really mean is that I am grateful for the guidance that continues to come. As I awaken. Right now we're in Holy Spirit guides. And we're going over messages. We've been going over messages for years in chronological order as I receive them. In addition to these messages, there have been the single quiet thoughts, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, the teachings of Inner Ramana, and now, for me, it seems to be the teachings of Muji. What I am increasingly aware of are the steps that you led me through. Steps that were not what we could call truth. And yet, they were necessary to move me from where I was to where I am now, and of course, to where I'm being moved. I look back now on some of what I was given, and I actually see that it's false. And I feel a growing prompt in me to detach from past teachings given to me by the Holy Spirit. And yet I understand that I could not arrive at this prompt to let go if I had not yet gone through them. And I understand that there may be brothers and sisters for whom those steps are still absolutely perfect. And so I feel the guidance to continue teaching these steps for as long as I am guided to teach, while at the same time in my personal practice, letting go, letting go, letting go of even what I have been taught by you. And for that, I am grateful for the bridge, for all the right steps. Amen. All right. So, as I mentioned, we're here to continue with Now the Real Work Begins. I have posted the link, but I will post the link again. There you go. And to show you where we are in the message, once you get the message open, if you scroll down into the message, you're going to be looking for a bolded question. For the most part, there was a question at the very top, and then a lot of answer from Spirit, and then there's another bolded question. That's where we're going to begin today. And that bolded question begins with the words, after looking at our minds. Now, just in case somebody here was not here last week, or just in case you guys are very forgetful, which I can also be, you just don't remember what the heck we were talking about last week, I need to start with a very brief review. One of the things that Spirit was talking to us about is cutting thoughts. Now, specifically, that language comes into the vocabulary of Holy Spirit's messages through me from Laurent. Laurent used to talk about cutting thoughts. And what Spirit talked to us about last week was the difference between cutting thoughts out of fear and cutting thoughts out of realization that I just don't want to listen to those thoughts anymore. Not a fear, but a realization. And in fact, Spirit asked during this message last week, can you imagine cutting, meaning cutting thoughts, can you imagine cutting without the feeling of guilt? Can you deny a thought or feeling and not see yourself as wrong? Can you celebrate the choice to cut another thought or deny another feeling? So really what Spirit was teaching us was the positive use of denial. We know A Course in Miracles talks about denial, and it talks about both bringing things out of denial, because denial is not helpful, but it also talks about the positive use of denial. And the difference, well, you could argue that it's subtle. It actually isn't once you get the hang of it, but in the beginning it could feel subtle. The difference is that You know, if I was to have a thought, you know, I'm going to make something up. Let's imagine that right now I'm listening to Jasmine and Danielle footsteps upstairs, and an imaginary thought enters my mind that they're doing something they're not supposed to do. Okay. And then let's imagine that my mind says, I think they're, I can't even think of something they would be doing. Gosh, I'm not very good at making up stories. Okay, go back to, they're doing something they're not supposed to do. Oh, I got it. Okay, they're doing something they're not supposed to do. It sounds like their footsteps are around my bedroom. Oh, they must be going through my things. Oh, no. You know, what if they find my private journal? What if they read my private journal? What if they read times when ego was in my mind and I was writing in my private journal that it has to do with them? What if they take it personally? What if they... And you see how there's just this story that's forming? Okay, well, we don't want to follow that story. That's just never helpful. So cutting thoughts or denying thoughts begins at the very first thought, if at all possible. When that very first thought enters my mind, oh, I hear footsteps up there. I think they must be doing something they're not supposed to do. The positive use of denial, at least the way it works in the mind of Regina Dawn Akers, would be, ah, geez, you know, what kind of a thought is that? I don't need that thought, and just lets it go. And you hear the laughter? Like, boy, shoo, what kind of a thought was that? You know, where'd that come from? Let that thing go. That's the positive use of denial. I don't even need to go into this freaking imaginary story. It doesn't serve anyone. And it's going to get me feeling nervous or get me feeling guilty. It could lead to me saying, hold on, you guys, I got to leave and go up there and say, what are you two doing? When they're not doing anything, but then their guilt kicks in and they, you know, it could just lead to all this stuff that doesn't even have to be, right? So if I can look at the very first thought and say, oh, you know, they're up there doing something they're not supposed to do. And then to say, where did that thought come from? You know, what a crazy thought that is. I'm just going to let that thought go because get focused back on now, back on teaching, away from imagination. You know, let's bring it back. That's the positive use of denial. Or we could call it the positive way to cut thoughts. There's no fear in it. It actually comes from absolute intelligence or wisdom. And by absolute intelligence or wisdom, I mean that part of us that knows that those stories just serve no purpose whatsoever. And so we stop it before it gets started. And that's what Spirit was attempting to teach us, was how to cut thoughts out of reason, good reason. Okay, hold on. Jamie wants to go outside. I'll be right back.
I'm coming, my love.
It's a beautiful day here, by the way. We've our summer weather has showed up about a month late for what is traditional here, but today it has definitely arrived. I did spend some time laying in the backyard in my bathing suit, which Laurent knows I love to do, reading a book you left here, Laurent, The Autobiography of a Yogi. You left that book here. So I was laying in the backyard reading that book. Baby Cheeses got snow today. Where are you at, Baby Cheeses? All right, so that's kind of an update of where we were. And now what we're going to do is we're going to read the next question, Carson City. Is that in Nevada? Yes, okay, Carson City, Nevada. It snowed today. Pueblo, we have summer. All right, so we're going to start with the first bolded question after the initial question. So again, if you scroll down in the message, let's see, Kathy, I know, has at least shown up. Kathy and Kat, it looks like. So here's a link for you two. Scroll down to a bolded question, not the initial question, but scroll down to the next bolded question that begins with, after looking at our minds. I'll take a sip here, and then we'll begin reading the next question and answer. All right. After looking at our minds and the seeming reason for cutting thoughts, we feel that we sometimes cut thoughts because of fear of miscreation. We worry that our thoughts will lead to our own suffering. What will you share with us on this? And for those of you who don't know what fear of miscreation is, that is fear that if I allow these thoughts to continue, there's going to be some kind of a manifestation that I do not like. Something's going to be in form, even if it's my own emotional state. There's going to be some kind of manifestation that I don't like. And so out of fear of what might come if I allow these thoughts to happen, I cut them. An example of that might be if we go back to the story that I made up a moment ago, that I hear footsteps upstairs. Oh, no. Jasmine and Danielle may be doing something they're not supposed to do, right? And then I go, I get afraid. Oh, no, if I keep thinking this, somehow I'm going to affect Jasmine and Danielle where they are going to get into some kind of trouble. They are going to do something they weren't supposed to do. And it's all coming from me and my power and my willingness to think these thoughts. Like I could somehow be guilty for what is going to happen because I allowed myself to think this thought. So it's very fearful. You know, the fear of miscreation is very fearful. And anyone who knows that fear knows how scary it is. You become very afraid of your own mind. Jamie's back. What'd you do? Go out downstairs and then go upstairs and have the girls let you in? Oh, Jamie must have gone to check on Danielle and Jasmine to make sure they weren't doing anything wrong. Is that what you did, Jamie? She looks pretty at peace. All right. So, after looking at our minds and the seeming reason for cutting thoughts, we feel that we sometimes cut thoughts because of fear of miscreation. We worry. Oh, there we go. We worry. Well, there we go. Sorry, I don't know if you guys see the joke here, but I do understand now that worrying about fearing thoughts, is really kind of silly. We should have stopped way before this point. But here we go. We're asking the question anyway. We worry that our thoughts will lead to our own suffering. What will you share with us on this? And here's Holy Spirit's answer. Cutting thoughts out of fear does not prevent miscreation. Okay, so again, if I have this fear, I have some kind of an intellectual understanding of my divine power. I have an intellectual understanding of manifestation coming from thoughts. And now I start to think this thought, oh no, you know, Jasmine and Danielle might be up to something they're not supposed to be. And then I have this fear. If I keep thinking that, somehow I'm going to pervert them through my own thinking. I'm going to affect them. And I don't want to be responsible for that. So I try to cut it because I don't want that to happen. Spirit says, cutting thoughts out of fear does not prevent miscreation, right? Miscreation. Here we go. Let's look at the definition of miscreation. Miscreation, which is merely an experience you don't really want to have, comes from believing the false is true. When you cut a thought out of fear, you are believing that you are a victim of your own thought. This is believing the false as true. When you know that you are not victim, you can just as easily look at the same thought and brush it aside with a chuckle. All right, so let's use my example. Basically, what has happened in my example is the ego, all right? The ego has totally taken hold of the idea that the world comes from our minds, right? That the world is a reflection of our mind, or the world is a projection of our mind. And the ego has, without understanding this at all, has somehow said, oh, I understand how this works. I understand. I get it. I understand projection. I understand creating our own experience. I understand, okay? Which the ego does not. The ego cannot. And then out of its thinking that it understands, it includes its guilt ideas that it believes. It includes its fearful ideas that it believes, and it wraps all of that into its, quote, understanding of how we create, right? And then the ego says, if you think these thoughts, something terrible is going to happen to you, to your loved ones, in the world, you know? It just, if you think these thoughts, and it's just, the truth is, the ego's understanding is just completely twisted and mistaken. All right? So, bottom line, if we have a fear of miscreation, it's because we're believing the ego's twisted understanding of how creation works. You got it? That already is a miscreation. The ego's twisted understanding of how creation works, of how projection works, right? Of what it means that the world is a reflection of our mind. The ego's twisted understanding itself is a miscreation. So what's happening is I am believing this miscreation. And out of believing this miscreation, I'm now cutting thoughts. Because I think I understand how this process works, and I think I understand how my thoughts are hurting me or hurting the world. The way that you know that you don't understand, all right, is the fear itself. If you had an understanding of love, of the process of creation, of the idea that the world is not real, it is merely a projection of the mind or merely a reflection, if you had true understanding of that, you could not fear. So the fact that you fear is all the proof you need that you don't understand. It's all the proof you need. Hello, Danielle.
Hi.
Well, now we know she's not into trouble. She's here. I was making up stories about you and Jasmine as a teaching example. The fact that you fear is all the proof that you need that you believe the ego's twisted theories. Because again, if you had true understanding, you could not fear. No one with true understanding fears. True understanding wipes out fear. So what this really means is if you have this fear of miscreating, you need to start there. You know, so when you have this thought, oh, Jasmine and Danielle are upstairs doing something they're not supposed to do, and then you feel that, you know, then the next thing needs to be, oh, look at this. I'm thinking I understand how this works. I'm thinking I understand. I don't understand. I'm letting this go. I'm going to stay in this place of not understanding, and I'm going to let this fear go. Two things have happened, actually. One, you're not following that story. You have eliminated the story, but two, you eliminated the fear of miscreation as well. As soon as you chose to realize that you don't understand. And if you choose to realize that, you will also notice a release in the body, a relaxing in the body. This is what we call a true letting go. And it's completely the opposite of misperception. Therefore, it's completely the opposite of miscreation. So let's look at this again. Cutting thoughts out of fear does not prevent miscreation. So he's not saying that this bad thing you are afraid of is going to happen, because he's going to define miscreation next. So don't misunderstand the first sentence. He's not saying that too late, you already screwed up. That's not what Spirit is saying here. By even starting to have the thought, you already screwed up. That is not what Spirit is saying here. Ego may be very willing to say that to you. Ego may be very willing to say, even by halfway thinking that thought, you already screwed up. That I trust me, that's ego. Feel the feeling of that. Feel the feeling of that idea, and you'll know it's ego. That idea itself is a miscreation. All right? So cutting thoughts out of fear does not prevent miscreation. miscreation, which is merely an experience you don't really want to have, comes from believing the false is true. Miscreation comes from believing the false is true. So believing ego's understanding of how the divine works, you're believing the false is true. That's scaring you. That fear you're experiencing right now, that, right? That's the miscreation, the effect of that belief. So miscreation, which is merely an experience you don't really want to have, comes from believing the false is true. When you cut a thought out of fear, you are believing that you are victim of your own thought. Even more, in this case, you're believing you're victim of your own mind. This is believing the false is true, right? Your whole fear experience is coming from believing false ideas, believing the ego's interpretation of the Holy Spirit's teachings. That's really what you're doing. When you know that you are not a victim, you can just as easily look at the same thought and brush it aside with a chuckle. You can just as easily look at the thought. Again, in my example that Jasmine and Danielle are doing something upstairs they're not supposed to, and then you laugh. Oh God, what a silly thought is that. Let me put that thought aside and bring my attention back to my teaching, right? So if you're feeling fear, please understand. All right? Yeah, if you're having the feeling I shouldn't have had that thought, please understand right off the bat that you are not as clear on truth as you think you are. In fact, you are listening to the ego's interpretation of Holy Spirit's teaching. And if you're listening to the ego's interpretation of Holy Spirit's teaching, the very best thing to do is step back into, I don't understand this. Out of a complete trust that if I did, I couldn't feel fear. The fact that I feel fear or the fact that I feel guilt shows that I don't understand this. Because anyone who understands feels only love, gratitude, peace, joy. So clearly I'm missing the mark here. And just step back into I don't know. And be willing to let go of your thoughts. Be willing to let go of your ideas of projection, of miscreation, of all of that. Out of a complete joyous realization that you are mistaken. Okay, so the next question. I don't think we understood this as well the day that I received this message as I understand it now, because I'm still asking Spirit for clarity here. The next question, how does this fit with your suggestion that we cut thoughts without feeling guilty? So somehow there's a lack of understanding here. It's like it's almost like maybe there was an understanding that, okay, we believe the false is true and that's what created our fear, but we must be bad for making that mistake. You know, it's like we can't get out of ego here. It's like no matter what Spirit says, we go right back into ego's interpretation. And we're kind of caught in this loop. Spirit explains, we're like, okay, I get that, but we must be guilty for doing that then. and you really want to watch that. You really want to watch listening to ego's interpretation of Holy Spirit's teachings. And trust me, ego has plenty of interpretations of Holy Spirit's teachings. You have to get very, very smart, very, very smart about how ego feels, how ego feels, right? And don't make the mistake of thinking you have to understand. Because if you make the mistake of thinking you have to understand these teachings, you open the door to ego's interpretation. Because ego will come in and explain it to you in a way that's going to make you feel fearful, guilty, hopeless, like you can never do it. So be okay with not understanding. If you can be okay with not understanding and follow simple directions that Spirit gives you, you're 1,000 times better off than if you're trying to understand every one of Spirit's teachings from an intellectual point of view. And if you're willing to set in not understanding, but just following simple instructions, any understanding you need will come in its own time. All right, let's look at the question. How does this fit with your suggestion that we cut thoughts without feeling guilty? Spirit says, it fits perfectly well when you look at the root and what is occurring in the mind beyond the level of action. When you cut a thought out of fear, the root of that action is judgment and the belief in guilt. It may seem to be fear of being victim, but the idea that you are victim comes from the idea of guilt. You cannot separate the idea of victim from the idea of guilt. When you see victim, realize you are looking at guilt. Now, we all know about defense mechanisms, I think. I think everybody here does. Maybe I shouldn't assume that. But if you've studied A Course in Miracles, you probably have some understanding of defense mechanisms because the Course speaks about them. A defense mechanism is basically an idea or an experience that, although it may create an experience of suffering, to you it's not as bad as the suffering that it's hiding. So it's something that seems more acceptable to you. What Spirit is saying here is that the fear of miscreation, for example, may be conscious in our minds at this time. But what's happening is underneath that there's lurking another idea that is also believed, a false idea that is believed, that we're not as willing to look at because we are more afraid. We're more afraid of that. Although we don't like fear, we like fear better than believing we're guilty. So what Spirit is saying here is that the idea that I'm a victim, this fear of being a victim of my own mind, is a defense mechanism because underneath that I have another false belief that I'm guilty. Let's look at the next paragraph. Victim, as I have told you before, this came from a previous message. Victim, as I have told you before, is a carefully crafted experience to teach you that you are what you are not. It teaches you that you are victim, so you can believe you are not responsible. And you want to believe you are not responsible because you are afraid of your guilt. You are afraid of what you will do to you. We're getting back to the fear of miscreation. You are afraid of what you will do to you because of your own judgment against yourself. Here we go. This is the idea at the root of miscreation. This is the insane idea that teaches that you are victim to yourself. He's only getting back into what we've already talked about. He's getting back into, we do not understand how God works. And in this sentence, I mean God and self to be synonymous. We do not understand God at all. We're listening, looking, believing, thinking through the ego filter. And that filter does not understand. But we've learned intellectually through books like A Course in Miracles, and we think we understand, but we're looking through this perverted filter so that everything that we see and understand is also perverted, which means that our understanding of God is perverted. But we think we know because we read it in A Course in Miracles. We think we know. We think that with the mind, we've created something bad, a separated self, a world, bad things happening to people. We also think that we're caught in some kind of a loop of believing the bad, and so the bad keeps being made. and we think all of this is true. But it's not true. This is just caught up in believing the ego's interpretation of the Holy Spirit's teachings. And some of you, if you believe this is true, if this has been your understanding of the Course, may right now intellectually be searching for some type of other understanding. But that's actually just not following the advice I gave about 5 minutes ago, which was simply be willing not to understand. The I that is trying to understand is the ego. And if you let that I continue to search for understanding, it's going to come back to that same damn place again. Because it always does. It's going to come back to a place of fear and guilt. You're much better off being willing to not understand at all. Just let it go. In fact, it just kind of hit me. It's kind of like my prayer, although this wasn't exactly what I intended in my prayer. But you heard me say in my prayer that I am now receiving guidance to let go of things that Holy Spirit taught me before. In my case, it actually wasn't because the ego got a hold of those things. It's just that those were bridge thoughts that were helpful for a time, but now, in order to fully accept truth, those thoughts need to be let go because they aren't ultimately truth, they're only helpful. But some of you may need to be willing to let go of what you've learned because the ego got a hold of it. And although you learned it from A Course in Miracles or some spiritual teacher, the understanding that has built in your mind is an ego-based understanding. And it's taking you nowhere. So you need to be willing to wipe the slate clean. You need to be willing to say, oh my God, I don't think I understood this at all. Because the truth is, I've been doing this for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years, 30 years, whatever. I'm not feeling any more peace. In fact, somehow, I think I'm even more fearful than I was when I started. Because when I started, at least I wasn't worried about miscreation. I wasn't worried about all that other crap, you know. Somehow, I've misunderstood everything. It's clear that I've misunderstood everything. I can feel that I've misunderstood everything. Because I'm tied up into a tighter ball of knots than I was when I started. And be willing to erase the slate clean. Forget everything that you have learned. Laurent says, would you include the idea that everything comes from me is to be let go as well? And I would say, depending on your understanding of that, absolutely. Because what ego does with that me is ego sees that as the individual mind. The ego does not have an understanding of who you are, right? And because the ego does not understand who you are, the ego misinterprets the me in that sentence. Everything comes from me. And that's just going to be scary as shit. So you're better off, you know, if you have an experience of fear from your spiritual understanding, you're better off to say, I must have this wrong. I must have this wrong, because true understanding leads to peace. True understanding leads to relaxing and breathing, and I'm not able to do either right now. So I must not, even though the words seem right, something's gone wrong in my mind. And erase it. Notice, Holy Spirit is calling it an insane idea that teaches that you are victim to yourself. He says it's an insane idea, this understanding that causes this fear of miscreation. It's a twisted understanding, and it's coming through the intellect, through the ego. He continues in this message. He says, when you feel this fear, know you are believing that these false ideas are true. Right? All you need, you don't need understanding of how you misunderstood. All you need is to feel the fear, and that's enough to say, boy, I cannot possibly be getting this right. Because true understanding would not bring fear. My understanding must be a perverted understanding, perverted through that ego shell, to that ego glass, right? When you feel this fear of miscreation, this fear that I'm guilty for what I think, right? This fear that something bad is going to happen because of what I think. If you feel any of fear, if you feel any of those, know that you're believing false ideas in that moment. If you have a true responsibility, a true understanding of responsibility for sight, an honest, true, Holy Spirit-given understanding, you will be letting go of thoughts, but you will be doing it out of willingness, not out of fear. Right? You'll be doing it out of understanding, not out of guilt. Look at your emotions. When you feel this fear, know you are already believing that these false ideas are true. The way to be free of fear and the seeming effects of fear is to let go of false ideas. So you got to let go, in this case, of your understanding of the Course, because that's really what Spirit is talking about here, this fear of miscreation. You have to, if you experience fear and guilt about your thinking and all of your understanding of the Course, then you need to let go of your understanding of the Course. He says, just as cutting a thought can come from fear, cutting a thought can come from the knowledge there is nothing to fear. That's what I just said. If you have the correct, the true, the right understanding of responsibility for sight, yes, you'll be letting go of thoughts. But there's not going to be any fear around it. There's going to be willingness. There's going to be gratitude for seeing that thought and letting it go. All of it comes from a different place within. You still have the understanding to let go of the thoughts, but the understanding has no fear or guilt behind it. That's how you know you're on the right track, or you have the true understanding, or at least enough of the true understanding. And like I said, it's better to not understand at all and just follow simple directions than it is to listen to ego. So it's wonderful if you have a true understanding, you're able to let go of thoughts with joy, out of willingness, with pleasure, right? But if you can't do that, then be willing to just follow directions. You know, be a little soldier in Holy Spirit's army. You know, just follow orders. I don't understand why I'm letting go of these thoughts. I don't understand how this whole projection thing works. I don't understand, but boy, I recognize this is a thought to let go of, so I'm going to. I don't need to understand to let go of the thought. I recognize that this is an ego thought. I'm just going to let it go. Right? Just be willing to follow simple directions. Either one of those positions is okay, is helpful. The position of fear, of guilt, of I'm doing something bad by thinking this, of, you know, that is just being caught up in ego. So understand that you do not understand, and be happy with that. Be happy. Be happy that your understanding before was mistaken. So just as cutting a thought can come from fear, cutting a thought can come from the knowledge there is nothing to fear. You can cut a thought and know the thought itself is meaningless. It is the power of light that carries all meaning, and that meaning comes from you. When you see a thought and cut it, knowing there will be no repercussions for the choice you have made, there will be none, because the foundation of your thought has changed. So here's something the Holy Spirit is telling us, which Jesus also told us, but apparently ego didn't pick up on this one. Your thoughts are meaningless. Meaningless. That means they have no meaning. that does not mean that they are the necessary creators of something terrible. Right? Remember my story that I was telling earlier. Oh no, I hear footsteps upstairs. Jasmine and Danielle must be doing something they're not supposed to do. If I continue to think this thought, you know, something's going to happen because of me, they will do something they're not supposed to do, right? That's total misunderstanding. Because I totally, in that whole fear story, did not see the first thought as meaningless. Meaningless. Jasmine and Danielle are upstairs doing something they are not supposed to do. Meaningless. How can the meaningless cause any harm? Ego doesn't want to believe your thoughts are meaningless. So if you're feeling a struggle in accepting that, that's just ego. Ego doesn't want to believe your little self is meaningless. Ego does not want to believe the world is meaningless. But Jesus tells us in the Course, and Holy Spirit's telling us now, that that stuff is meaningless. If we kick and fight and scream it's not meaningless, we're joining ego's team. And I'm bad because these thoughts aren't meaningless, right? That's ego's team. That's ego's interpretation of the Holy Spirit's teaching. The Holy Spirit says, it's meaningless. It's a meaningless thought. It came into your mind, but it has no meaning. Let it go. Let it go. And this is regardless of what type of ego thought comes into your mind. I had a thought recently. Actually, I had the thought for like a year before I caught on to it. You know, that's just the way it is sometimes. I had a thought that I had a grievance against someone. I had a thought that I was happy this person wasn't around me all the time because it was someone I wouldn't want to have to be around. And it wasn't a constant thought, you know, because the person's not around. I didn't think about him constantly. But when that person's name was mentioned or a thought crossed my mind about that person, there was this feeling of, you know, like I don't like that one as well as I like the others. Okay? And I believed that thought. I believed that thought, I don't like this one as well as I like the others. And when I believed that thought, it did make the feeling of a little grievance in me. A feeling of, I don't really want to see that person. But last week, or 2 weeks ago, in Study with the Scribe, I happened to say that out loud. I told that story about that thought in my mind. About this person that I felt I had a grievance against. And then we looked down to NTI. We were reading NTI, I believe it was 1 Corinthians at the time. And the very next paragraph said that if you believe there's a temptation in your mind, then you must not believe you're God, because could God have a temptation? Now, another popular way that same teaching is often given is, who is the I that has a grievance? When I saw through that paragraph in NTI that in believing that I could have a grievance, I also had to be believing that I was the little self, I released the whole thing immediately. You see, I thought that thought had meaning. It didn't. It had no meaning. The only meaning it could have was the meaning I was giving it through thinking it had meaning. The second I realized it had no meaning, no meaning at all, the feeling of grievance disappeared. You see, we take the untrue and we make it seem true for us. But the second we see that it's not true, it's not true. So many people think, I have all of these grievances I have to let go of, right? I've got all these grievances I got to let go of. I don't know how to do it. Every one of those thoughts is a meaningless thought. The thought, I have all of these grievances I have to let go of, it's nothing. And as soon as you see it's nothing, guess what? The grievances are gone. Instantaneously. There's no work. There's no apologizing. There's no, not even exposing. I happen to expose it, but the exposing doesn't have to happen. There's no truth that I have to confess my grievance before it's healed, right? You just have to see that the idea that you could have a grievance, that you could be that person that has a grievance, that's the mistake. All of those thoughts are meaningless. This is the Holy Spirit's answer. It's the ego's answer that says you're guilty, you have to work hard, you have to undo all this crap you've done. It's the Holy Spirit that says, but you haven't done it. But you haven't done it. You're just giving meaning to meaningless ideas. Let go, let go, let go. You haven't done it. Hey, Jamie. We're thinking about getting her a doggy door, by the way, because she's always in and out and in and out and in and out, aren't you, love? See, she likes the inside and the outside. So just as cutting a thought can come from fear, cutting a thought can come from the knowledge there is nothing to fear. You can cut a thought and know the thought itself is meaningless. The thought comes in, I have a grievance, like, that's a funny thought. I wonder what would happen if I believed it. I'd probably think I had a grievance, wouldn't I? But you know what? It's just, it's nothing. Let it go. That's bull. It's just bull. You got to know who you are. That's really what this amounts to. You got to know the truth about you. And then you're all set. It's easy then. Just as cutting a thought can come from fear, cutting a thought can come from the knowledge there is nothing to fear. You can cut a thought and know the thought itself is meaningless. Meaningless. The idea that I had a grievance was meaningless. It was not true. It was never true. It only felt true while I believed it was true. It is the power of light that carries all meaning, and that meaning comes from you. Again, the thought that I had a grievance was never true. It only felt true when I believed it was true. That was me giving it that meaning. I gave that thought all the meaning it had for me. Does this sound familiar? I don't have to really let go of a grievance. I have to let go of just believing these untrue thoughts. The grievance isn't real. When you see a thought and cut it, knowing there will be no repercussions for the choice you have made. You know, I do remember back when Holy Spirit was first teaching me to let go. If I had a thought like the one I'm talking about now, like the thought that I had a grievance against someone, and I had Holy Spirit there telling me, just let go of this thought, just let go of this thought. I had this belief, I can't just let go of that thought because it's true, and if I just let go of it like it's not true, then I'll be guilty. Boy, talk about ego twisting Holy Spirit's teachings. I mean, listen to this. I'm going to use Laurent's name just for the heck of it, but I'm making this up too, okay? This is not true. If I have this thought that I don't like Laurent, I have a grievance against Laurent, right? And Spirit says, let go of that idea. It's like, I can't do that. I really don't like Laurent. And if I just let go of it like it's not true, then I'm guilty. Do you hear all the twists and turns in that? There's so many friggin' twists and turns that ego plays on us. And they're ridiculous. Jesus, throw out the whole ball of wax. Spirit says none of this stuff is true. I don't have a grievance against Laurent. I've never had a grievance against Laurent. That's not who I am. That's all I have to see. These thoughts do not mean anything. And if they appear to have meaning, it's because I'm giving them that meaning right now, and all I have to do is stop it. To quote a famous YouTube, stop it. I just have to stop it. And ego will say, you can't, you're not being honest, but you know what? That's actually ego lying. That's just ego trying to keep you holding on. You can let go of a meaningless thought anytime you want to. You don't have to give it any meaning at all because it doesn't actually have any. You can stop it right now. Just stop it. And you're free. When you see a thought and cut it, knowing there will be no repercussions for the choice you have made, there will be none because the foundation of your thought has changed, right? What was the foundation of your thought? The foundation of your thought was, I am guilty. These thoughts have meaning. I am guilty. And it changes to, they're meaningless, and how in the hell could I be guilty? Right? The whole foundation changes. Instead of having these imagined effects from believing all that ego stuff, you're free. All right, and I'm not going to read anymore because I only have 4 minutes left and there's no way I want to cram this in. Oh, I have one more paragraph. Oh, before I get to the next question, so let me read that. That'll fill our 4 minutes. Okay, so here's the last paragraph I'm going to do today. Likewise, all right, you can look at a thought out of guilt, as if you would be wrong not to look at it. Looking at a thought with me comes from the desire to see you are free. When you are not believing you are free, you're not looking with me. Okay, I'm going to use you as an example, Danielle, just because you're the best example in the world, only because this just happened today, right? Very simple. You ready? This morning I said to Danielle something like, Danielle, I want to tell you something. And the second I saw it, if you'd seen the look on her face, it was like, oh my God, I don't want to hear whatever she's about to say. Okay? That's because she knew I was going to point out a thought that she was thinking that was an error. Right? You knew that. But the feeling was, oh no, I don't want to see that. Okay, that's what Spirit's talking about here. I use Danielle, but we've all done it. You can look at a thought out of guilt, as if you would be wrong not to look at it. There was a belief in her mind. Well, hers was actually the opposite of this. Maybe it wasn't the perfect example, but it's fine. There was a belief in her mind that to look at the thought would hurt her, when actually to look at the thought frees her. This is talking about something that's actually, even for me, more twisted. And by that, I mean it comes from more confusion. This is talking about you've learned through A Course in Miracles that you're supposed to look at thoughts. So even though your natural reaction is the same as Danielle's, I don't want to, you do it anyway out of guilt. So it's like taking a double twist there. Danielle's fear is the first twist. Oh no, I don't want to look at this. I'm afraid to look at this. The second twist is, but I'm guilty if I don't. Do you see? So now you've taken a double twist. Double twist, ego. So what you need to do is untwist yourself, because this is why some people, when they study A Course in Miracles, get tied up in a tighter ball than they were in when they started. It's because of how ego takes these teachings and just messes them up. Okay, so now you got to untwist yourself. You got to untwist yourself. You don't have to look at thoughts out of guilt because you are not guilty. But you don't have to do anything you don't want to. So if you don't want to look at this thought, don't. Spirit loves you. Don't look. Don't look today. Don't look tomorrow. Don't look next week. Don't look next year. Spirit is not going to make you look at your thoughts. You're not guilty if you don't look at your thoughts. Okay, now you're free. Now you don't have to look at it. You've just undone another loop. Okay, now you've only got one twisted loop, the fear of looking. The fear of looking is still coming from the belief that you're bad for having the thought. You're not bad for having the thought. It's just that the thought is hurting you because you're giving it meaning that it doesn't have. take a breath, realize the thought is meaningless, and your way to be free is to look at it and see that. You don't have to look at thoughts out of guilt. You don't have to look at any thought you don't want to. But when you realize that you're giving meaning, and that meaning you're giving is only hurting you, you might be willing to relax. Just relax and say, okay, let's see what meaning I've given that is causing my own pain. So when you're ready, when you're relaxed, then look at your thoughts, okay? But don't tie yourself in double knots, because that just doesn't help anything. All right, we'll go to part three of this message next week. Thank you for putting up with me. I love you all. Bye.